When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your grace, your mercy, your long suffering. Lord, I thank you just for the opportunity that we have to gather ourselves together in your house tonight. Thank you for the good singing, Lord, that we've heard. Thank you, Lord, how you've blessed us already with your presence. We sure do thank you for that. Again, Lord, we know that we don't merit anything, don't merit you being here. We shouldn't even be able to inquire of you, as the book of Ezekiel says. But we sure do thank you that you've come our way tonight and let us sit together. Oh, God, we're begging you that you'll manifest yourself tonight. Oh, God, that I'd be hidden behind an old rugged cross and nobody'd ever see me. Oh, God, but they'd see you tonight, high and lifted up. God, I pray. And oh, God, I beg you, take and anoint my body, mind, soul, spirit tonight. Anoint my tongue, Lord, bind it, Lord, I pray. And you speak those words that needs to be said here tonight. And I'm begging you, Lord, for fresh oil, fresh unction, to be able to preach. Lord, I pray you take the word of God and take it out into the hearts of your people, that it might find lodging place and might bring forth repentance. Lord, we ask. Again, Lord, I ask God that for everyone that's here tonight, if there's one here in their midst that's lost and does not know you in the free pardon of sin, Lord, I beg you, God, that you touch them. I beg you, God, that tonight will be the night that they'd accept you. If there's one afar off and just not as close as they should be, oh, God, let them draw to thee tonight. I realize, Lord, as you said in your word, if we draw nigh to thee, you draw nigh to us. And oh, God, I'm begging you tonight that you would allow us, God, to draw nigh to you. God, I pray. Have thine own will, thine own way tonight, Lord, and I'll give you praise for whatever you do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to look at these five verses here, I guess, from verse 25 down through verse number 30 there. And again, I've got three different messages out of this, and that God has laid upon our heart as we begin to look through this. And the three messages that I'm going to be preaching starting tonight, and don't know how far we'll get, but just we'll try in the next few weeks on Wednesday night to preach these messages, is number one, the revelation of the Christ. The revelation of the Christ. And then verse number 27 there, we're going to find the return of the disciples. We're going to find how the disciples came back and they returned. And then the next few verses there to end there, we're going to find the results of coming into the presence of the Christ. The results of coming into the presence of the Christ. Can I say real quick, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, that'll be all right. If you come into the presence of something as big as Jesus, it's going to change your life. Amen. There's going to be something different about you. Amen. I believe tonight, I believe the Bible talks about there that you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. Now you say, well, preacher, you don't know if I'm saved or if I'm not. No, I don't. But I believe that if we have been saved by the grace of God, we'll bear some fruit. Amen. I do believe that. The Bible says over in the book of James there, he said, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So I believe if you've got the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you will be bearing fruit. Amen. I do believe that. But before we get to that, I want you to notice in verse number 25, and I had to go back here. I know I preached a little bit out of this the last time, but God just really nudged my heart right as I left the scene. And I thought, wow, we've got to go back to that. The Lord just kind of nudged their heart here. And I want to preach tonight on the revelation of the Christ. The revelation of the Christ. Now, I want to point out to you before I get into this, if you notice there, the conversation between this woman at Samaria there and Jesus, it started all the way back up there in verse number 9, I believe it was, all the way down through in this scripture here, verses 25 and 26 here, is the last bit of the conversation that happened there. And can I say to you, I don't believe as we get through this scripture here, somebody would ask the question maybe, well, preacher, at what point did this woman really get saved? At what point did she really begin to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ there in the Christ? And we could all probably read this and we'd have different opinions. But I believe tonight, I believe when we get to verse 25 and 26, it does not happen until verse 26. I believe that's when it really happens. And you say, well, preacher, why would you say that? Why would you think that? Well, I believe this tonight. Listen to me closely. I believe until the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed to you, then you will never be saved. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I remember the night He was revealed to me. Amen. I remember the night when I seen Him dying on the cross for my sins. Amen. Now listen, I'm not talking about that you'll know everything about Jesus. I'm not talking about you'll get in, you'll know sound doctrine. I'm not talking about all that. Hey, some of us have been saved for many years and we ain't got it all figured out, okay? I don't believe there's anybody got it all figured out. We won't till we get to heaven. Amen. But in order for you to be saved, it must be revealed to you who Jesus Christ really is. Would you agree with me and say amen? That must be revealed to you. So as I look at this woman there at Samaria coming to the well there, Jesus sitting on the edge of the well. When she first got there, she didn't know who He was. All she realized was He was a Jew. That's all she knew. And through this scripture here, He began to reveal Himself a little bit at a time and began just a little bit at a time to show her exactly who He is till they get down to verse 25 and 26. And then verse 26, He finally looks at her there and begins to reveal Himself and says this there, I that speak unto thee am He. That has stuck in my mind as I began to study this. And I thought, wow, what a statement. Now, I could say that to you tonight and it wouldn't mean much. But when a holy God sitting on the side of a well, a holy Jesus that's been sent down here to become flesh for you and I, a Messiah that's been to come down to deliver us from our sins, when He stands up and He says, I, that He, that's speaking to thee, am He. I don't know about you, but that says something. Amen. That's volumes. Amen. I'm telling you, there's something special in that. There's something that at least ought to run up our spines when we hear that statement there. And I thought to myself, oh my, we've got to look at that. We can't just skip over that. We've got to go back and realize who it is that's saying that. We've got to realize the impact of who it is. I don't know about you, but I remember the night He come by my way and He said, I that speak unto thee am He. Amen. You say, preacher, who was it? Well, I'm glad you asked because I want to show you. Amen. Notice in this scripture here in verse 25. The Bible says here in verse 25, the woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Can I say number one to you tonight? He is the coming Messiah. Amen. Amen. He is the coming Messiah. Now you say, well, preacher, why is that so important? Well, if you look at that word Messiah there, it means the anointed one. Hey, listen, it ain't just any ordinary person that's coming. It ain't just any ordinary person. Amen. I hate to tell you, but every one of us in here tonight, we're just ordinary people. Ain't nothing special about us. We just ordinary people. Amen. And I say to you tonight, if you used to say, I'm coming, if you used to call me tonight and say, I'm coming, I'd be tickled to death. I really would. I'd say, come on up. Amen. Come on up. We'll kick our shoes off. We'll drink a cup of coffee. We'll eat a piece of cake. We'll even feed you something good if you'll come on up. Amen. But if Jesus was to say He's coming, amen, I hate to tell you, but it's a little bit more special. Amen. Thank God. It's a little bit more special when Jesus says He's coming. Well, let me pull up brakes and say this right here. He's already here. Amen. He's already here tonight, church. Amen. He ain't just coming. He's already came and He's here amongst us. Amen. By the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, what a blessing to know that. Thank God for that. If you notice in this scripture here, the Bible says in verse 25, He cometh. I like that. I done line that in my Bible. Now, I realize in the scripture here, in Bible times, and in the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke and the Gospels here, I realize that Jesus had not yet died on the cross. And I realize that the Jews are still looking for that great Messiah to come and deliver them. I realize they're looking for that. But I can say to you tonight, my Savior's already come.
Thank God he's already come. He's died on the cross for my sins. And not only did he die on the cross for my sins, but he rose again the third day to give me life and life more abundantly. Amen. Oh, yes, she said he's coming, but he was already there. And I can say to you tonight the same thing. He's already come. Amen. And by the way, he's already come. He's rose again. He's went back to the Father sitting on the right hand, and he's coming again one of these days. Amen. Thank God he's coming this one of these days. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can't wait till he gets here. Amen. I can't wait to see him. Amen. He's coming. Amen. Hey, listen, I say number one tonight, he is the coming Messiah. I'm glad tonight, now listen, he has already, that word Messiah there, it's the anointed deliverer. It's what it means. I can put it that way. That's kind of my definition of bringing everything together. But he's the anointed deliverer there. And I thought about how that Jesus has come and died for our sins, rose again the third day, and now by accepting Jesus Christ by faith, you and I have been saved by the grace of God. Amen. Somebody ought to shout right there. Glad I'm saved tonight. Amen. But preacher, is that all there is? Oh no. I'm like Paul. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Amen. But because he's coming again, amen, he is going to deliver us. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to get delivered out of this place. I see sin on every hand. I see aches and pains in my body every time I get up. New aches and pains every morning. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about there. Amen. I see troubles. I see cares. I see death everywhere. I see little babies being aborted everywhere. I see sin on every hand. Oh, it's coming a day when he's going to deliver us out of this place. Amen. Oh, yes, there's a deliverer coming. There's a Messiah coming. He's coming again. Amen. And we're going to be delivered out of this place. He's coming, church. I believe that. You believe that? Say amen. I believe he's coming tonight. Amen. I do believe that. I believe the Bible says here also in verse 25. He says, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come. I like that. When he is come. You know what that means right there? That means he is coming. You say, preacher, you didn't say that again. Well, God knows my heart here. We're going to say it one more time. Amen. He is coming. We live in a society today, people are like, well, I don't believe he's coming because that's been preached for many years and he ain't got here yet. Well, I hate to tell you, that just means he's a little closer than he was yesterday. Amen. And tomorrow he'll be a little closer than he was the next day. Amen. Oh, I'm glad he's coming. He is coming. Just as sure as I'm standing here preaching tonight, just as sure as you're sitting there tonight, he is coming one of these days. There will be a day that he comes and gets his church and takes us home. There will be a day when we have the marriage supper up there. There will be a day when we go up there to be with him forever. Amen. There will be a day when that new Jerusalem and that new heavens come down. Amen. Boy, I can't wait. There is a day, and it is a day coming. Amen. What a blessing. I'm glad he is a coming. Amen. Number one, he's coming. Number two, notice verse 26. He says here, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. Not only is he the coming Messiah, the coming Christ, but he is the one that's when he comes, he's going to tell us all things. Now realize there's a lot of know-it-alls today. Somebody say amen right there. Yeah, there's a lot of know-it-alls today. They believe they know everything. Amen. They got as many degrees behind their name as a thermometer. Amen. Think they know everything. But I'm here to tell you, there's one that knows everything. You see, I got to look into this, and God knows my heart with this evening, and I thought to myself, the only way he could tell you all things, you got to know all things first. If he didn't know it, he couldn't tell you. Amen. I serve a Savior that knows everything. Amen. He knows everything. We've been preaching about that woman there. And the title, if you will, or the main thought through all this was that he knew her. He knew everything about her. He knew where she was at, the time she was going to be there. He knew about her family. He knew about her past. He knew about her present. He knew about her future. He knew everything about her. Not only does he know everything about you and I, but he knows everything about this world. I mean, amen, he takes care of it all, don't he? Why in the world should we worry about it? We've got a God that knows it all. Amen. We've got a God that takes care of it all. Somebody say amen out there. We've got a God that already knows what's going to happen tomorrow, and he'd take care of it before it gets here. Amen. I'm glad tonight I know that he knows everything. I'll say this. I believe this from the depths of my heart, and I've always said this. I believe the greatest, and or maybe my favorite, maybe you ought to put it that way, but the greatest or my favorite part about Jesus Christ is his all-knowingness. They say, well, preacher, why is that? That makes me nervous because he knows what I'm doing. That makes me nervous. Well, if it makes you nervous, you must be doing something wrong. Amen. But I do want to say this. I'm glad he knows everything I do. That way he can die if he died for every sin that I've ever committed. He died for everything. He ain't left one out. He already knows what I'm going to do tomorrow, and he's already died for that sin. When he was dying on the cross, which one of your sins was in the past? It wasn't none of them, was it? Every one of your sins was in the future, and he died for every one of your sins. Amen. Because he knew everything. He knows everything past, present, and future. Amen. By the way, let me say this. He already knows who's going to win the election. Amen. He already knows. Amen. Listen, I thank God we're able to vote, and I believe we should. I believe we should exercise our right. But you know this, God already knows who's going to be in there. He already knows what's going to happen. He already knows how it's going to happen, amen? And he's got it under control. He knows it, amen? I'm glad I serve a God that knows everything. But the Bible says here, not only does he know everything, but the Bible says he'll tell us everything. Did you notice that? He'll tell us everything. I don't believe that's going to happen until we get to heaven. Because it can't happen down here. I'll be totally honest with you right here. I don't want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. Some of the greatest blessings that we have is things that we don't know. Some of the greatest blessings that we have is things that we have no clue about. I'm going to be honest with you. If you knew what was going to happen in your life in 2020, you probably wouldn't make it. We'd probably be tossing in the towel. We'd probably be saying, Lord, I can't go any farther. Amen. I'm glad I don't know. I'm glad I'm just going to let him take care of it. I'm just going to let him handle it. Amen. I'm just going to let him take care of it. He already knows. Hey, I'll just put my faith and trust in him, and I'll just go with God, as the song says. Amen. I'll just go with him and let him handle it. Amen. He'll take care of it. Amen. Church, I don't know what he's going to do in our church in 2020, but I sure am looking forward to what he's going to do. Amen. I don't know how big it's going to be. I don't know the troubles we're going to have to go through. I have no idea, but I hope my prayer to God is that we'll just put our faith and trust in him and let him handle it, because he already knows what needs to happen. Amen. Notice with me in the scriptures, number one, he is the coming Messiah, but number two, he is the all-knowing Christ that knows everything and going to tell us everything. But notice number 3, verse 27. I like this. Bible says here, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I just want to stop just for a minute, and I'm going to dissect, if you will, this statement that he made, okay? There's more in this than I can get out, okay? So you're just going to have to bear with me. I hope I can finish all this tonight. But I began to look at this, and I thought about the statement, I that speak unto thee am he. That's a huge statement. And I think, first of all, we've got to look at who's making the statement. Now, if you notice the first two that I mentioned to you there in verse 25, the woman is the one that said those words. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ, the one that comes and going to tell us all things. She is the one that testified to that. She's the one that said, there's one coming, if you will. There's a Messiah coming. Well, how did she know that? You say, well, preacher, what do you mean, how did she know that? Well, she evidently knowed it. She evidently knowed it, or she wouldn't have said it. Where she learned it from, when she learned it, if you will, from the past, if you will. She had read the scripture. I believe this woman knew a little bit about religion. I do. I believe she knew a little bit about the word, if you will. The word, the old writings there, if you will. And I believe she knew about those things. I really do. She said, preacher, why? Well, number one, she was talking about where they're supposed to worship. That they're supposed to worship in a certain place. If you remember that, we preached about that a while back. Well, now here she is actually confessing and witnessing that the Christ is coming. Where'd she learn that from? She had to have learned it in the tabernacle or temple. She had to have learned it out of the scriptures, or else she wouldn't have said it, okay? She learned it from someone. Maybe even her mom and daddy had told her that. I taught her that. I don't know exactly where it came from. But she learned that somewhere from the writings, if you will, of the Word of God. Okay, would you agree with me or say amen? So she's the one that testified. And what she was saying, she said, hey, we've read this. We've seen this in the writings. We've seen this in the scriptures. And we know that there is a Christ coming. And we know that when he does come, he is going to tell us all things. We know that by the writings that we have read. I say glory to God for the writings. Amen. Somebody ought to say glory to God for the Word of God. Amen. Glad we've got it today. Amen. Glad we've got it. But notice verse 26. When we get to verse 26, what's the first statement that's made there? And Jesus saith unto her. Jesus saith unto her. He's the one that said it. He didn't read that in no book. Amen. He didn't read it out of the scriptures. Amen. Listen, he didn't pick it. He didn't have to say, wait just a minute, let me go get the scriptures. Wait just a minute, let me go get Isaiah. Wait just a minute, let me go get the writings of Moses. No, he didn't have to say that. No, when he said, and Jesus said to her, hey, listen, this is God that's speaking. Amen. This is God that's making this statement. This is the holy God of heaven is the one that's making this statement. Amen. Oh, it's crawling all over me. I'm enjoying this tonight. Amen. This is him that is coming down to an old wretched sinner there, an old adulteress there, and he is speaking to her. Amen. We'll get into that here in just a minute. Can't get into that right now. But he is speaking to a wretched sinner. But it is the Son of God that is speaking to her. Wow, is all I can say. I don't know about you, but that, I know you like it when I say this. That's one of them purple moments. When your head blows off, poof, huh? That's one of them moments when you just got to stand back and say, wow. The God of heaven, the creator of this universe, the one that spoke light into existence, the one that parted the waters, the one that made the earth, the one that done every bit of it, the one that's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-righteous, and yet he's the one that is coming down to an old wretched adulteress and looking at her and saying, I that speak unto thee am he. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Glory to God for that. Amen. He said, I. It's him that speaketh. Now, you say, oh, preacher, what's that number three? Well, number three, not only is he the coming Christ, the Messiah. Number two, he's the one that's going to tell us all things. But number three, let me go here, okay? Number three, he's I. Notice the first word in that statement, I looked at that word and God just jumped out the page at me. One letter out of the Word of God. And I thought, wow, Preacher, what is that? Well, if you go back to your Hebrew, back to your Greek there, this word means existent. He is the self-existent one. Amen. He's the one. He's I. Amen. I looked over there in the book of Exodus, chapter number 3, I believe it is, verse number 4, might be chapter number 5, somewhere in there when he's speaking to Moses. Moses got up on the mountain. Moses said, Lord, I can't go down there. He said, who am I going to tell him that sent me down here? He said, I am that I am. I had to just write that outside of my Bible. You might want to write that in yours right there. I am that I am. Amen. That's who's speaking. Amen. When he says I, he's talking about himself. And he has to be God in order to make that statement. Amen. In order to say that he is the Messiah, he is the only one that could make that statement. Nobody else could do it. John stood up and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Do you know why he done that? Because God had revealed it to him. The Holy Ghost had revealed it to him. But there was nobody else who could say that. There was nobody else. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. But there was nobody else on the earth that could say. His disciples couldn't say that. Peter could not have stood up and said, he's the Messiah, because he didn't know for sure either. John couldn't have stood up. Matthew or none of the others couldn't have stood up and said, he's the Messiah. Who could have done it? Jesus. He's the only one that could stand up and say, I that speak unto thee am he. I am the only existent one. I am the one. Oh, I'm glad tonight he's the I. Amen. He's the I. I put it in my, I've been typing up my notes a little bit and I put it in there and I put parentheses around it. I put quotes around it, and Microsoft Word said, wait a minute, something ain't right. All you Microsoft Word, you know what I'm talking about. I put some little blue lines underneath it and them little red lines underneath it. You know, saying it ain't right. And I just said, ignore. It is right too. Amen. He is the I. Amen. I don't care what the world says. He is the I. Amen. He is number one. He is the priority. He is number one. He is I tonight. Amen. And he is the one that we worship tonight. He's the one that we give glory tonight. He's the one that we honor tonight because he is the I. Amen. Notice the scriptures again, number two, or number three, he's the I. But then I noticed this. He said, I that speak. Wow, what a statement here. I that speak. It's something for him to be I. It's something for him to be the self-existent one. It's something for him to be the Almighty, the Holy One. But now when we come down and he says, that speak unto thee. That speak. Let's stop for just a minute and think about this. And let me just give you this and you can just let it settle in just a minute. How precious the voice of God is. Just let that sink in to settle in just a minute. How precious the voice of God is. There's a song that Brother Tim Ramsey sings, and I do not know the name of it. I have no idea. But I've heard him sing it. I've actually got a CD of it. But in that CD, it talks about, in that song, it talks about when they had the Lord's Supper in the upper room there. And the Bible says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out. And in that song, it talks about the voice of Jesus singing. And I thought to myself, wow, what harmony that must have sounded like. What, I'm telling you, the birds just probably had to hush. Huh? There ain't no birds that ever sounded like that. The voice of God speaking. And that's what this woman's hearing. God's sitting on the side of this well, the Son of God, and he is actually speaking to her. You remember Moses there? Well, let me back up a little farther than that. God just nudged my heart with that. You remember Adam in the cool of the day? God came down and walked with him. Don't you know he conversed with him and talked with him? Huh? Even called out after he had sinned, called out to him in the garden, his voice. Boy, I thought about Moses there. The Bible says that he spoke to Moses as a friend. Talked just like a friend. Amen. That's the voice of God. Can you imagine what the voice sounded like up there on Mount Sinai? The Bible says that it rumbled like a thunder. I mean, it's all the way through the scriptures that you can hear when God spoke that there was rumbling. I mean, it was such a mighty voice, a great voice, if you will. Can you imagine? Matthew chapter 17, up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter and James went up there with him. Peter, James, and John was up there, and he began to speak and began to talk with Moses and Elias up there and began to talk there. Can you imagine what that sounded like? Can you imagine? One of my favorite passages of Scripture is John chapter 20 over there when he had risen from the dead and Mary came there to the tomb and couldn't find him. Boy, she's weeping. She's tore up. Boy, she's discouraged. She's distraught, if you will. And just in a still, small voice, Jesus began to speak to her, called out her name, Mary. Can you imagine that voice, that voice of God that's speaking? That's what he's saying right here. I that speak unto thee. And I don't know about you, but I like it when he speaks to us. Amen. I like it when he comes by and I hear that voice. Amen. I love the voice of God tonight. We ought to love the voice of God. If you're born again tonight, you ought to desire to hear the voice of God. Amen. That's the only way you're going to live for him is to hear his voice tonight. Amen. Hey, that voice that we hear, so sweet, so precious. You say, preacher, why is it so precious? Because he's a holy God speaking to an old wretched sinner. Oh, yes. I remember the night he spoke to me as an old wretched sinner and called me to an old-fashioned altar, and I got saved. I remember that. But, oh, I can remember time after time after time when he speaks to me every day, walks with me and talks with me, amen, as the song says. Oh, I love them days when he speaks to us, amen. I that speak unto thee and he. I don't know about you, church, but just right here is a special place. When he said, speaking unto us, oh, that he would even look our way. Oh, listen, David said in one scripture over there, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The Bible also says that his thoughts are on us continually and he will speak with us. Oh, what a blessing to know that. I'm glad tonight he speaks with me. Amen. Now listen, sometimes the voice that we hear has got different meanings in it. Sometimes that voice
that we hear. One time it might be consolation, just like it was with Mary. I don't believe he screamed out at Mary. I don't believe he hollered out at Mary. I believe it was a still, small voice of, "Mary, as if I'm here, Mary." But I do remember also back there in when Adam sinned in the garden, he began to call out, "Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you?" I guarantee you there was fear in Adam's heart because of that, because he had sinned. What do you, listen, I believe there's times when we get into places we shouldn't get into, and when we get into sins we shouldn't get into, and there may be a conviction there, if you will. And when that voice comes and we know we're in sin there, it brings a horror, amen. It brings a fear, a reverence down inside of us, amen. It brings that inside of us. So there's different voices, there are different ways. We all know that. You, anybody that's had children and dealt with children, you know what I'm talking about. You say different words and you say different sounds, if you will, enunciations, if you will. And those things, those words that come out of your mouth, and they mean different things. That's the way God does us. But I'm glad for every single one of them. I'm glad when he consoles me. I'm glad when he speaks to me when I'm out in sin, shouldn't be in places, and he speaks to me, convicts me, and brings me back. Why, preacher? Because I know he loves me, amen. I know he cares for me, amen. Oh, how precious it is to hear the voice of Jesus. Amen. What a blessing. Let me move on. We find that he speaketh, number four. But then I notice this in verse number 26 again. He said, "I that speak," notice this, "unto thee." Unto thee. It's a miracle that he speaks. His voice is so precious. But to speak directly to you. Directly to you. He, listen, the disciples were coming up the road about this time. You study it there. We're going to look in here just maybe next week. But the disciples coming up the road. But he wasn't speaking to them. He was speaking directly to this woman. Directly to her individually. Church, listen to me tonight. He'll speak directly to you. Everybody look this way. Listen to me. He don't just speak to this preacher that's behind the pulpit. We live in a society today where people think the preacher's the only one's got it. The preacher's the only one's got any idea about God. I'm here to tell you, you've got this much I have, okay? I'm just an old sinner saved by grace just like you are, amen? I realize there's more responsibility laid on me because I'm a pastor and I'm a preacher of the Word of God. I understand that, I do. But listen, God will speak to you just like he'll speak to me. I've seen God use some of these little ones here. Lord, I've seen him use them. I'm telling you, speak through them, bless my heart, amen, and speak directly to them. What a blessing when he speaks to us, amen. But he will speak directly to you. And you say, "Preacher, why? Why in the world is that so special?" Because when he speaks directly to you, then he can tell you exactly what you need to hear. Amen. I've seen it so many times. I've preached messages before, and I think in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, boy, that's straight to the church. That's straight to the church. And you know what happens? Somebody get up and get saved. Huh? Somebody get up and get saved. I say, "Glory to God." And I have to stand back and say, "Lord, how'd you do that? I thought it was to the church. I thought everybody's saved in here." Amen? Listen, but he speaks to everyone individually. He'll speak to us a group, but he'll speak to every one of us individually. Amen? "I that speak unto thee," each one of you individually. Now listen, I want to say this, and I'll move on to the next one. I believe we need to be listening for his voice. And I believe we individually need to be obeying his voice. And I believe we need to do what he tells us to do. Amen. And when he speaks to us, we ought to say, "Glory to God," because he'd speak to us. Amen. So he speak unto thee. Let me give you one more. He said, "Am he." "I that speak unto thee, am he." Notice the little word "am." The little word "am" there is a present word. Am. When you say the word "am," it's now. I am preaching. Huh? Right now, we're preaching. Huh? You could step back there and you could say, "I am sitting in the church." Why? Because you am sitting in the church. Well, this is getting deep, ain't it? I mean, this is deep, okay? I don't know if we're going to figure this out now or not, but it's deep. Am. It's present. Amen. It's present. So when he's speaking to her, he said, "I that speak unto thee, am he." I got good news. Voice run up down my spine. I got good news. I'm reading it out of the Word of God 2,000 years later, and it's still as timely today as it was back then. Amen. He's speaking to us tonight, and he said, I that speak unto thee am he. Amen. He still am. Amen. I am that I am. Amen. He's still the am. Amen. He's still right here in this time. He's am. Amen. He ain't changed. The Bible said, I change not. Amen. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen. I never change whatsoever. Amen. Never change. So we can say tonight, he's the am. Amen. He's the am. Thank God. I'm glad for that. I'm glad he is the am tonight. Amen. What a blessing. Let me give you the last one, number 7. I thought about the last word there, he. He. Now, I want to be very careful right here, okay? I want to be very careful. But notice in your King James Bible, that word he is in italics. You notice that? It's in italics. When you see in your King James Bible the words in italics there, that what that means is the translators, when they translated this, they added that word in there so we could understand it in their English, okay? All the way back from the translators. Now listen to me. You know me. I'm saying that King James Bible is the true, inerrant, infallible Word of God, okay? I'm not taking anything from it whatsoever. I believe that he is supposed to be in there. Do you agree with me? Say amen. That he is supposed to be there. But as I began to read this and I began to see, God give me this, as I was reading this, I thought, wow, if you take that word he out of there, and the statement then becomes, I that speak unto thee am. Wow. I don't know about you, but that hits me. It's bigger than just I am he. I that speak unto thee am. In other words, he said, I'm still here. I got to hit that one more time. He said, I still am. Amen. Amen. He is the I am. Amen. I'm glad he is the he and he is the am. Amen. And he said, preacher, what you saying here? Well, let's back up just a minute. All right, when he says he, that comes down to a physical word. That comes down to, that means he is human. At this time, he was. He was 100% God and 100% man. So what he could say in this scripture here, he said, I am the am, but he said, I'm also he. I that speak unto thee am he. In other words, he's the one that's coming. When he said the word he on the end there, that took you back to verse 25, where she witnessed out of the scriptures that the Messiah's coming. And when he comes, he's going to tell us all things. And that's the reason he said, that's the reason he put it in our language there, that it's he. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad he's he. Oh yes, he come down here, took on the form of a man, amen, and became he for me. Amen. Thank God for that. I that speak unto thee am he. I say again, as we look at this, I'm like, wow, what a statement. From a holy God, the Son of God speaking to an adulteress, speaking to a woman that had been married 5 times and the one she is living with wasn't even her husband. We'll get to this next week, maybe, or maybe the next. If you notice, when she left and left her water pot and went back into the city, she went back to the men. She didn't go back to the women because the women would not accept her. She went back to the men because, of course, the way she'd been living. There's a whole other message in that. But yet Jesus, the darling Son of God, showed mercy and long-suffering and grace and came down to a place in Samaria where the Jews was not even supposed to speak to them. The Jews wasn't even supposed to go through the city there. But Jesus said, I must need to go through Samaria. And the Holy God's going to sit down and talk to an adulteress, to an old sinner, and say, I that speak unto thee am he. I don't know about you, but I just want to stop just for a minute, put myself in her shoes. As she's standing there at the well talking, I just want to put myself in her shoes and just listen to the voice of God. When he begins to say, I that speak unto thee am he. Amen. Have you heard that speech? Have you heard that speech? Have you heard that statement, huh? Have you heard that cry when he looked at you and said, I'm he? I remember you that day when you got saved. Do you remember that day? when you was headed to a devil's hell and said, I need escape. I need something to keep me out of hell. And he said, I'm he. I didn't speak unto thee. I'm he. I'm calling you. I can keep you out of that place. Amen. Do you remember that? Amen. That'll stir our hearts tonight. Amen. Let's stand to your feet tonight.